Chapter 44. Bright Night 37, of year 3876. Gronolf is walking around in the control center. If only he could talk to someone. The foreign machine made a demand he can't accept, but if he rejects it, he will also have failed. Everything had started out so well. The humans found a means of transportation that could take them to the Majestic Draft. This method does not involve a landing on the planet. Instead, Marchenko described a plan that sounds like a scientific fairy tale to Gronolf. The AI wants to transfer to the ship by purely electronic means and then construct a new body on board. The life scientists of his people should be interested in this, because if the method could also be applied to biological beings, it would revolutionize travel. However, this revolutionary plan deeply distresses Gronolf. He has no choice but to let Marchenko fly alone to the Majestic Draft, and he must give the AI all access codes. If the alien should solve the problem of the omniscience, he could claim the spaceship as his own. According to Grosnop law, this would be entirely legal. The Majestic Draft would then be Marchenko's personal trophy, just as he, Gronolf, could claim it if he were somehow the hero to liberate the ship. Naturally, being a Grosnop, he would then give the ship to his people as custom demands. But can he expect that from a machine? Gronolf slowly walks in circles. With each circle, he looks into the decayed front eye of the desiccated general. How would you proceed? Which strategy would you employ? Should I take Adam and Eve hostage to force Marchenko to come back? While he just met the humans, these beings have shown themselves to be very reliable so far. They care as much for each other as a Grosnop mother would for her children. They are interested in self-preservation, of course, as that is a biological instinct. But he feels that there is more than that. A sense of responsibility. Is that related to the high developmental level of their civilization? That would be nice, Gronolf thinks, because that would give him a positive view of his own species' future. The behavior of the leadership group made him doubt whether sophisticated technology always goes hand in hand with a sense of responsibility. Humans seem to be different in that aspect. Therefore, he decides to trust them. He doesn't have to tell Marchenko, though, that the AI could theoretically claim the Majestic Draft as his trophy. Gronolf is finally calmed enough to sit down again. He touches the console, locates the human's ship, and assigns it the code of a shuttle that crashed a long time ago during the landings. Then he increases the system privileges of this shuttle so that it can dock in any airlock. Finally, he copies the voice signature of the dead general who is sitting across from him. Marchenko has the highly useful ability to imitate any voice input so perfectly that he can fool the best acoustic system. Of course, if the omniscience blocks all access points, he would not stand a chance. Gronolf gets up and walks to the crew room, where the humans are waiting for him. When he enters the room, they are just performing a strange ceremony. All three are hugging each other. It would look funny if three of his comrades did this. Yet due to their slender shapes and thin arms, only two each, only six in total, it almost looks natural for humans. Saying goodbye seems to be very emotional for them. Drops of water flow from Eve's eyes. Adam seems to have trouble breathing, because he sniffs and swallows several times. Gronolf taps the ground politely with his foot in order to alert the three to his entrance. They turn around and look at him. With humans, you can be sure that they are paying attention, he thinks, and that makes dealing with them easier. However, only being able to scan 180 degrees should make it harder to survive in the wild. Gronolf is really glad he has four eyes. You and your ship now have all the access privileges I can grant from here, he says. Marchenko says something in the human language. He is probably interpreting. Thanks. Do you have any tips concerning my technical equipment? I can freely modify my body, he replies. A perfect speech synthesis so you can identify yourself using the general's voice. And for obstacles which the omniscience still won't remove, having a weapon with a good blasting effect would be advisable. Could you send me the plans of typical door and airlock constructions? I have an idea of how to get past locked doors without attracting attention. Gronolf hesitates for a moment. Now Marchenko wants the ship's blueprints too? Of course, he is right. If there is a way to open doors without explosions, that would definitely be better. Certainly, he says, but don't forget the weapon. He remembers the moment when he tried to storm the life support control room. His weapon had not been sufficient to save Marnaka's life. It would be ideal if the weapon could attack several targets at once. The opponents are not taller than you are now and are made of light alloys. At least this is true if the Omniscience has not changed its tactics, and it would have had no reason to do that. Are there body parts where the targets are especially vulnerable? No, the Omniscience copied our body structure and distributed all functions across the entire body. Okay, then I will have to decide according to each situation. I would prefer to avoid an armed conflict.
That might be true, Gronel says. Yet if the Omniscience completely seals off the central shell, entering it will be a great challenge. The outer hull is very sturdy.
I will sneak up to it, Marchenko says, and before the Omniscience notices anything, I will already be inside the system.
That would be optimal.
Then we should say goodbye now. From where could you best transfer me? Gronolf bends down and opens a flap at the base of the wall near the entrance.
There's a data input here that can be switched to the wireless system.
He points downward.
I only need details about the signal path. After all, your ship has to be able to process the signal.
Sure, Marchenko says, raising the display on his wrist.
That should be enough, Gronolf says. I will go to the control room and start programming the data. You can already connect here. You will notice an impulse in the line once it is about to start.
Marchenko crouches, pulls a cable from a flap in his side, and connects it to the wall outlet. It fits, he says.
It is all standardized, the way it should be on a ship.
Gronolf wonders what to wish Marchenko.
An honorable death? The way warriors do?
That might be misunderstood. It is only symbolic, as one really wishes the other person to win. Yet it is supposedly bad luck to say that.
Best wishes, he finally says.
See you soon, Marchenko replies. Gronolf goes to the control room and reprograms the radio transmitter to use human technology. Then he gives the start command. When he returns to the control room, he already sees Marchenko leaning lifelessly against the wall. Adam and Eve crouch next to him, each of them holding one of his hands.